lead upon us afresh as you lead us on the path of life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. From verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. So there was a persecution. A persecution looks like chaos, but in the book of Acts of the Apostles, it was a ladder. Chaos for the people held under the government of God was a ladder into higher heights in the fulfillment of the destiny of the church. There were three locations mentioned that the persecution drove the brethren to. That looks like an orderly arrangement to me. If the guys really scattered, they were supposed to be scattered into unknown destinations. But it was a ladder, a migration. Three cities were in view of a mighty invasion, and only persecution could move the people of God into that place. And it so happened to be that we were not told about what happened in Phoenix. We're not given a detailed record of what happened in Cyprus, but Antioch standeth out. In these three cities mentioned, that persecution drove the apostles to, the effect of this persecution and the resultant effect of the pure revival that was breaking out was captured in one of the three cities, and Antioch was the case study. So my little study today is titled Antioch. It was not a city that was on the spiritual map of the world until persecution came. It was persecution that drove the disciples to these three cities. And suddenly Antioch becomes this place of great relevance, a strategic location in the unfolding of the plan of God. Now you cannot jump in the reading to verse 27. The Bible says, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem to where? Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there will be a great famine. That's what that word means. Throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now, so what was happening, we might call it a chaotic movement that was orchestrated by persecution. But we are seeing a very fine sequence and order of things. Because the Bible says that there were so many people in those days, there was a movement. And while I believe that it was not just persecution that moved them, because in verse 27 the Bible says that there was a movement of prophets. These ones peaked in the radar. They peeped into heaven and knew that God was shifting base to another place. And just like a wise man sought to know where the king was by looking upon a star, these ones were looking into the spirit realm and they began to gain direction. And they knew that the Holy Ghost was settling on that city called what? Antioch. And so it was chaos. But what we saw was that God created a ladder in the midst of chaos to do something very definite. They were able to trace people that were running away from persecution. just to three cities. That is impossible. Because if there's persecution in this city, if there's chaos in this city, only God knows in how many directions you, roads will be created as strength points. Hallelujah. And then when they were, when prophets began to move, they moved by the guidance of God. And that guidance led them to a city of Antioch. Just as if God was setting a stage for a new dimension of his operation. Meanwhile, if we investigate the revival that broke out in Jerusalem, the revival that broke out by the ministry of the first apostles of the Lamb, the first apostles or the apostles of the Lamb, that revival, because of the location, Jerusalem, that location began to choke that revival. By the time we checked the doctrine, that they had a doctrinal conference, and the apostles that operated outside of Jerusalem came to confer with the apostles that were operating in Jerusalem, and we saw that there was chaos, there was a problem. We saw that the revival that was breaking out from Jerusalem had experienced some form of corruption. And the corruption was that Judaism began to mix with that pure water of revival. And when God saw the possibility of the death of that revival, owing to religion that was seeping in, he allowed that persecution to come. And the persecution looked like chaos to the natural man, but it was a ladder to the apostolic people. He drove them into another location. Actually, what was happening was that God was shifting his headquarters from Jerusalem and was moving it to Antioch. Are you still with me? Now, when we look at our nation today, Nigeria, persecution, torture, torment, tyranny causes movement. In the 80s, in the city of Kano, for instance, Kano was a home for all. In fact, the people from the eastern part of the country, they had found their colonies. Most villages in the east were represented in Kano. And such that there was a time where they did Kano Day, Eastern Kano Day, that's for the easterners. And they did traditional dances. Most of the clans in the east were represented. Hallelujah. Suddenly, the religious riots began, and their movements began to find expression. From our own perspective, we call it chaos. We call it all kinds of names. But it was in the same chaotic situation that a very organized movement took place, in keeping with the opening of different frontiers for the revival of God that has broken out in the city of Jerusalem that was under attack. Hallelujah. Movement began when the religious riot started. Then it took another gear. Then bombings and manslaughter and all kinds of chaos. Still occasioning movements. Anytime you see people moving in mass like that, there is a secret of God, a purpose of God that is twisted in between those movements. There is something that God wants to achieve that he could not achieve in other places. And there has to be movement. You see, demons are more in number where there are people. We might go to a barren wasteland, the wilderness, where nobody stays. Even though there's demonic presence there, it will be minimal. But when you come and you find people dwelling together, have you ever stayed in a barrack before? Barrack. Oh, you are a son of a military man. You know the kind of spiritual things that happened here? Demonic operations of diverse kinds. Because there are clusters of demons where there's population. So you might think that just human beings are moving. No, spirits too are journeying with them. They are going to cluster, they are going to clog a particular location. And that location becomes a hub of new spiritual activities. Are you with me? Now, so if we follow in the progression, you will see that suddenly Antioch, that was an unknown town, an unknown region, started gaining prominence. Now, if it was not just the persecution that moved people, Because we saw that in verse 27 that prophets moved. If their office as prophets means anything, it means that they were led to move. Now the environment was no longer conducive for them to dispatch the kingdom of God that they were mandated so to do. And there was a prompting from the Spirit to move. So this one's moved not because there was persecution. They moved because there was a leading. And they still arrived at that city called Antioch. Now what happened as they were moving from different places and converging at Antioch? The first thing that happened was that a convergence of witnesses began to take place. See, there are some things that God may want to do in a place, but the people that are currently in that place do not have the capacity to carry out such a feat. So, of necessity, there's need for convergence. It's because of this kind of situation that sometimes preachers are imported. Missionaries are assigned to go to several localities so that a convergence can take place. Until we have sufficient men of spiritual rank come into a particular territory and begin to do spiritual business, the destiny of that city will not be unlocked, and the prophecies that have been spoken into it will still be sterile. Now, so one of the things that took place first in Antioch being an unknown territory, an unknown terrain, but the chaos of persecution became a ladder that led people into that particular place, and the first thing that was achieved was a convergence. Now, a band of prophets took their journey from Jerusalem, and in fact, in the book of Acts. Now, you see, we were not told that Agabus prophesied, or we did not have a record of his prophecy when he was in Jerusalem. But he was a notable prophet. And the Bible says they moved. As they moved and got to Antioch, that was when Agabus' name was mentioned. That one among these prophets, named Agabus, he prophesied that there would be a great famine in the land. And his words were honored. The reason why the account of the fulfillment of his prophecy had to be captured in that narrative was because the first prophet, first man that operated, moved conveniently in the prophetic office, Samuel, his own prophetic dimension had actually shaped the office. Because the Bible revealed that Samuel had such an anointing, such that his words, if by any means he feels like uttering something and he succeeds in the utterance, those words will not fall to the ground without finding fulfillment. And so in order to accredit Agabus, who was now isolated from the band of prophets, that he was indeed operating under the prophet anointing, the Bible says, gave a case of his prophetic escapade, that he spoke about a famine that was coming. And that utterance did not fall to the ground. It was existing. It stood. It was powerful. Sustained in the spirit realm. It had capacity and potency to come to pass. And it found full delivery in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now these were the men that were part of the convergence. There was a master purpose that was in the womb of God. Even during the time of chaos among men, there was something that was going to find a better footing for fulfillment, even in a time of chaos among men. And a convergence was established. This is not the kind of news you get to hear on this day, on Sunday Sun, on Daily Trust. There was no news platform that carried the fact that prophets joined. A convergence was achieved. But there were all kinds of news that they killed some people here. Persecution took place there. Bomb blast and nyanya. This kind of stuff happened. Gunmen. Suspected. Kamato Rokumosi. Boko Haram. That's what we hear on the news.
But you see, that chaos, always remember this, chaos is what? Is a ladder. Men see chaos, but spiritual people see a ladder into the next phase of the program of God. So what do you see? Do you see chaos? Is that all you see? I see a ladder. A ladder that leads to a very definite place so that a convergence can take place. So because the convergence was spiritually orchestrated, it was not captured in the dailies. Nobody knew there was a movement. Nobody knew that there was a very concise, deliberate, orchestrated movement that brought a certain kind of people into the territory of Antioch. And because those people came, Antioch became a territorial base to release fresh things that God was releasing from heaven. Hallelujah. Now, these ranking men began to exercise their offices and manifest the thrones that they carried. But by the time we get to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, which is my emphasis, the stage was still in Antioch. The witness was complete. The number of the lampstands was accurate. The ranking of the men was capable enough to capture that which was required to be birthed within the city. And a new nucleus and a new circle was established. And in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 1, the story of a prayer meeting, a prayer and fasting program was told. And they were in the church that was where? At Antioch. Now, who knows? We need a name, the names of the most remote places in Zone A, Zone B, Zone C. Those of you from Zone A, what's the most remote, a place you will not easily mention? It's not on the map. In fact, indigents of that particular locality are regarded as outcasts. Because there's no government road that leads to their clan. In fact, when they come on market day to the market square, people still wonder, from which planet did these ones come from? They look different because they are tabernacled in one of the ends of the earth. No road to access them. Now, who can give us some names of cities like that? I know you in Edomaland land, maybe you have not traveled much. Have you been traveling? No, we need another. Not you, you have been in town. Now, I need a name. Now, please take note of this name. All right, take note. Now, the reason why we are taking inventory of these names is there's something that will happen. Some of these places, the names will become prominent. So, but wait, let's do our carry out. Please, I need a name. What name?
Okpagabi.
Oweto.
Okpagabi Oweto.
Now, when you hear those kind of names, the vowels and consonants are not really in alignment. Now, you see, what makes a place, okay, you know the Inigede, there's no place like that. You mean every part of Inigede is on the map? There are some. There are some strange. See the way he's denying. I have been to your village. Your village is not. It's not around. Your village is not around, actually. So if you say in Igede there is no one, I may mention your village because I was there. It was a strange. Yes.
Udiapa.
Now these names. See, some of these names, when you hear the tone, you will know the inspiration that birthed them.
Hallelujah. We were somewhere and they called the place Demekpe. What's the meaning of that? Now, when you hear those names, you will know that the hand of the handiwork, not just the hand, the handiwork of witchcraft is there. Kanshio, what's the meaning? The end. Eh? On I cannot. Now, those names, those were not places that the devil intended that will ever come to lamplight. That's how Antioch was. It was on the other side of nowhere. Nobody really had dealings with Antioch. But when the horoscope, when the movement began to take place in the heavens, and the prophets picked it, the location, the next place of God's launch was in Antioch. At this time, what was brooding in Jerusalem was suffering some form of corruption because Judaism was mixing with it. Their doctrines were beveled. There was some form of excesses, allowances that have come into the system. And what God wanted to do was to save that revival by creating a platform in Gentile territory where everything that surrounds is idolatry. It's because the Jews were already religious, so it was easy for religion to filter through. And now God chose a place, one of those places that you not want to go to. And the name of it was Antioch. And a convergence took place. Things began to happen. Some things began to boil. New things from heaven started coming out. The purest gospel that was ever preached and the purest result of apostolic preaching and teaching was captured in Antioch. Because the Bible says that it was in Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. My God. That was a legacy of the ministry that took place in Antioch. Their ministry was Christ-centered, was Christ-based. And all the people, they were led to Christ. And when the community of idolatry saw them, they said, ah, these ones are from the Christ. These are sons of the Christ. It means that what was preached did not point to men, did not point to money, it didn't point to material, it didn't point to, it pointed to Christ. And for the first time, discipleship was accurate. And the product was evident in society. The Bible reveals that for that time, that was the first time. Now, my question is, will we ever be called little Christ again? Because in Antioch, the syllabus was accurate. The product of heaven was made manifest. When will that time come? And it took place on that stage. On that barren stage, that forgotten territory. That was where Christianity was first, most accurately showcased after the ministry of Christ. They were first called Christians. Where? Antioch. So today, we have bomb blasts. We have all kinds of stuff. There's migration and movement. If you go around Makurdi, some of us were born here. In the 80s, you can count the number of cars that plied the roads in this town. That was why there was no need for expansion. The roundabout, if you hardly find three cars trying to negotiate the corridor of the roundabout. In fact, the engineers that constructed it, they were under pressure because people felt they had wasted resources to construct it. It was too large. No cars and it's large. Hallelujah. But you see, since the persecution began, migration has been taking place. And you see, migration has been so intense in recent times. And because of that, new corridors are opening up. New emphases are beginning to come. And the places where we despise are coming into the spotlight. And I want you to understand that every time there is chaos, behind the scene, there is what? There is a ladder. So you might call it chaos as a natural man, but a spiritual man calls it what? A ladder. Because not everybody that moved because there was chaos. There were prophets that journeyed, not because there was chaos, but because there was a movement in the spirit, and they picked it. And so there was something happening underground, which the news did not capture. And that was how the convergence was established.
Now, what we may not be seeing is that right now there is a convergence. Different kinds of things are coming into the territory. And just for you to know, for your own information, it's not only a convergence in the kingdom of light. There are also convergences, if not more, in the kingdom of darkness. So the territory has been infiltrated. Now, are you still with me? Now, when the territory is infiltrated, what happens is that there is a spiritual warfare that opens up. Now, the convergence of darkness that takes place actually gives birth to some kind of demonic intercession, so that they will seek to gain mastery over the territory, to control the tide of things. But you see, that's why we need ranking people, not just all kinds of people, Christians. We need ranking Christians that are giving their hearts to Christ and made Christ their unique goal, to serve His will and to release themselves to see to it that His purpose is prosper. When these kind of people converge, when there's a convergence around these purposes, around the kingdom dream, then some things begin to happen that begins to change the spiritual climate. And that's when men like Agabus can sit in their office and pick the things that will come to pass in the future that will affect the territory, so that the church can have strategic information that will make them plan ahead in view of this which is coming. Ranking men begin to find expression. And then there's a movement, there's an order, there's a sequence of things. And by the time we get to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, the emphasis on the persecution begins to dwindle. And then a new formation begins to pick up. And then suddenly we now see that scripture zooms into a prayer meeting. And by the time we check the people, take the roll call for the people present in that prayer meeting, those guys were not originally in Antioch. They are not citizens of Antioch. But the convergence had brought them. And so in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, the Bible says, and they what? They were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers. You see, when the roll call was taken, strange people were included. You will say it is chaos, but this is not chaos, this is orchestration. This is orderly movement. This is convergence. Oh, you are not with me. You see, they assaulted Peter and John. They beat them up. Why? Because they had given strength to the limbs of a man that was previously crippled. And they warned them, saying, never preach in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Well, they were still under that threat when they came from the congregation, from the circle of the Sanhedrin. But the Bible says that they made way straight to their own company. And they related the things that had happened to them. And suddenly prayers were made. Some scriptures came forth. Why? To the hidden rage. And the people imagined a vain thing. They drew witness from the book of Psalms 2. As they began to pray, suddenly the shield of faith appeared. You know, the Bible says, you know, when they came out, they were flogged. And they journeyed to their own company. And they began to pray, and the Bible says that the place where they were staying was physically shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spake the word of God, how? With boldness. The opposite of fear is faith and boldness. So the shield of faith had come, and those darts and threats were shielded off. And instead of a weak people, a broken people, a bold people came out of that prayer meeting. So it was the shield of faith that was invoked on the account of the prayers that were offered. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Maybe a witch threatened you and you came for a prayer meeting. Because the weapons of our warfare, actually, if you read the context very well, we get to use them corporately. They are corporate weapons that are under use in corporate settings. I know they have personal applications, but most of the examples of the weapons that I've seen in Scripture were used in corporate context, even though they have personal applications. That's how God operates. There's a work of God in your life. There's a work of God on your life. There's a work of God in the church. There's a work of God on the church. It's not enough for you to prosper by knowing what God is doing with you. You also need to know what God is doing in the body of Christ. You need to know what God is doing in your own territory. And if you don't know all these things, you can actually be in a congregation that is dissociated from what God is doing in your territory. And even though you are accurate with God, you are limited because you are disconnected from what God is doing in that territory. Hallelujah. Now, so these guys, what happened was that eventually the shield of faith was downloaded from heaven. And the effect of that shield of faith, the fiery darts that the devil had shot through the threats of the Sanhedrin, was dissolved. And in the place of fear, there was great boldness, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And when they came out of that meeting, they had no need to consider the threats that had come from the Sanhedrin, and they spoke about the name of Jesus. And the next time they were arrayed, they said, okay, you see, you yourself think about this. Is it better to serve God than man? He was speaking from the shield of faith. He had received something in his spirit that made him that way. A natural man cannot function that way. I just wanted to make us see the kind of strength that came when they left the Sanhedrin and came to their own company. There is power in the convergence, and the convergence is orchestrated by the Spirit of God. And most times when there is chaos in the territory, what is likely, most likely happening, is that there's a convergence. So there has been movement. There have been convergences. And now the purpose of the convergence was about to be hatched. And the Holy Spirit chose a prayer meeting to execute his intention that he has been building through the times of turbulence. A brief roll call was taken. The Bible says it was a convergence of prophets and teachers. Now, and I was wondering, why the combination? Why is it a convergence of prophets and teachers? Because what was about to come to pass was the purity of the move of God that was suffering loss in Jerusalem. So before that same spirit, religious spirit, invades this territory, let the first recipients of this revival fire be people, first of all, that can see in the spirit and understand the movements of God, and people that can establish doctrine that will become the barricades, the burglary proof against the invasion of the spirit of religion. Now, if you look at that thing very carefully, when we check the ministry of Paul, because the ministry of Paul evolved out of this prayer meeting. Prior to this time, it was only in Jerusalem that people could be sent forth to go and carry out a mission. They would send Barnabas as far as Antioch. Alright, so the sending ministry, the apostolic ministry, which is the ministry of a sent one, was only bettered in Jerusalem until this convergence took place. And then Antioch became another apostolic center, a spirit embassy. The purpose of God had prospered so much and had gained root in that locality, so much so that it became another nucleus where the purpose of God could be bettered, the voice of God could be released on a scale that will shape the lives of men forever. And it was in this prayer meeting prophets and teachers were gathered. Because if the move of God finds expression, are you with me? If God begins to move sovereignly, I know most of you know that. Every time there's a move of God, there's a move of the devil. In fact, you see, most of us think that the devil is a regular, an outcast. Don't press that too much. Because he had tarried in heaven. He had a function in Zion. He walked up and down and to and fro in the course of fire. He was the anointed cherub. He was the light bearer. Hallelujah. Now, so the implication of that is this is a personality that understands God's move, God's way of operation. He understands it to a very deep extent, such that he can almost mimic everything that God releases, because he has been there for a long time. Are you with me? He can almost do what? Duplicate almost everything that God does, because he was there for a long time. And so when God wanted to set up a center in Antioch, he chose the people that were part of that center. And he organized and ordained that it would be a convergence of prophets and teachers. Why? Because when God begins to move, Satan too begins to move. And if you don't have people that can discern accurately from the Spirit to decipher and show us the difference between true and lie, false and accurate, truth and true, good and evil, if you don't have that technology in the camp, then it is very, very likely that what is brewing is going to be adulterated. So God himself chose the people that will be part and parcel of the beginning of the apostolic embassy that he was establishing in the city of Antioch. And he chose that prophets with their discernment will have to bring that to the party. He chose their teachers with the ability to create barricades and covering will have to come to the party. So that by the time these people are armed with truth and defended by the prophetic side, they'll grow to a point where no wave of doctrine will be able to shift them. They'll become concrete pillars in the territory. Because every teaching, every philosophy, every principle is traced to a spirit. And as you indulge yourself in that principle, you're actually romancing with your spirit. Okay, I know you don't. Maybe I'm going too fast. A lady went to church in Port Harcourt. And the preacher was fiery, according to her. She sought audience with him in counseling. And told the preacher about her predicament, financial burden. And she's at a crossroad financially, seeking counsel and wisdom from this man, because by reason of the fire that he was exhibiting, he must be a custodian of some of the wisdoms of God. So she sought counsel. The man said, she needs to bring some things. There's a strange soap she needs to buy. Fanta. Not Coke, but Fanta. There's an oil that drips. It's cod liver oil from a strange fish. You have to mix these things. And she will take a quick bath at the riverside in the night. Meanwhile, he was a fiery preacher. And because she lacked discernment, she could not see through that preaching that there was falsehood that was tabernacle. And so God chose the people that were part of the move of God in Antioch. He sovereignly designed, through all of that chaos, through all of the movements that took place, on the account of the persecution, there was something that was not a function of the persecution that was taking place underground. And what did I call it? A convergence. He handpicked who will be part of this new onslaught of heaven. And prophets had to be brought to the party because of their capacity to discern. Now, most of us have seen the move of God in different shapes and colors. On campus, in your family, if your family is a praying family, around youth service. Hallelujah. And you see, for everything that God has, the devil has a substitute. God has a prophet. The devil has the spirit of divination. If somebody is operating under the spirit of divination here, especially if the person is a church person, you will not be able to discern through scripture what is wrong with the utterance. For instance, in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter, 16, when that lady began to speak under the influence of the spirit of divination, he said, "These be servants of the Most High God that show us the way to salvation." There was nothing wrong with that. That's accurate. You see, so in our discernment, we go from true and false, and we go to deciphering between true and truth. Because that utterance she gave was true, but it was not the truth. It was true because it was a true statement of fact. But the reason why it was spoken was not because of the statement of fact. It was spoken because of deception. So, you capture truth within the context of the reality of that which is uttering those words and the purpose for which the words are uttered. That's the context in which truth is found. And you cannot check truth by doctrine. That's the limitation of the teacher. And that's where the office of the prophet begins. He probes into the utterance beyond his sound, beyond the italics, beyond the accent, beyond the communication. He probes it into the source and finds the motive for which it was uttered. Though it's a true statement, but the motive behind his utterance is deception. And the prophet can probe into that very core and pick out the difference between true and truth. For Paul, it took 3 days or thereabout for him to discover that this utterance is not truth. Hallelujah. So whenever that depth of prophetic that can probe into the very source of things is absent, you can be sure that there is no covering sufficient for the onslaught of darkness that is arrayed against the church. Now, we had a prayer meeting some time ago, and there was this lady that was given to prophecy. You may not discern it the first time, not even the first year. The Holy Spirit may not be willing to reveal it if it doesn't begin an adventure to thwart what God is building. He may not be willing to reveal it. And this lady used to prophesy until one day. Hallelujah. You see, the energy level we were operating from was not high enough for us to detect it. So there was a recommendation from the Holy Spirit that we had to upgrade our prayer base. So what we did was that we started doing night vigils. And the night vigil, the tempo began to increase, and we normally supplement that with evening prayers. Night vigil, evening prayer. Night vigil, evening prayer. And the lady was still prophesying. Oh, night vigil, evening prayer. And she was, unfortunately, she showed up for one of those meetings, and we were higher than where we used to be before. Jesus. Tell your neighbor, please, we need to go high. We need to. Man, many things go wrong when we don't go high. I told you about a relative of mine in a burial. He drank palm wine from morning to evening and then began to call the names of all the dead ancestors in the land. And he was so accurate in the order that they died. He invoked. The accuracy was unusual. He was speaking under an influence. Really. Hallelujah. In fact, he spoke. He had, I don't think he, that memory, I don't think he understood. The way he spoke in a sequence that was so accurate. Was calling them and their titles. He was under an influence. The Bible is not against you going high. He only subscribes or prescribes the method of what? So he said, be not drunk with wine. That's not how. But be, what? The way that my relative was, there are some things you will never detect on you until you have an equivalent inspiration to that level where you are soaked and it's as if your mind is suspended and you are giving voice to inspiration. The lady rose up to prophesy that day, and as she was talking, the utterance was releasing 1,000 pins into our spirit. Meanwhile, that was the last day she prophesied. Because the moment she was spotted, she left. Now, so whenever something is beginning to brew, something serious begins to happen. The devil is a church boy. Don't think he's a reggae rag on the street. He, almost all of his life, he spent it in the eternities. In the tabernacle of God. There's one thing he knows very well. The atmosphere of God. He knows it. And that's why he provided substitutes for everything that God's unction does. There's divination, and all of that is in the church today. Divination, sorcery, palm reading, as part of prophet. You need to go to London. Witchcraft is back. And it's on the pulpit, has infiltrated everything. There's almost nothing in the United Kingdom today that doesn't have the touch of witchcraft. Some of our ministries here, you need to go there and see the version in the UK. Oh! Hallelujah. Meanwhile, somebody says, if it's when I go to London that I will break out in ministry. Your story will be like Naomi. Because a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in US. Now, so there was a convergence that was taking place. And God handpicked the functionaries that will partake of it. And they were what? Prophets and teachers. So one of the ways the devil also does it, he doesn't do outright confrontation like the one the lady did, the lady with the spirit of divination. You know, it was a prayer meeting they were going for. He went with them for prayer. Sometimes the devil doesn't do that. Sometimes he plans ahead by raising people that people respect and then using them to sow the seed of false doctrine. He will come back 25 years later to reap from that ground that have been sown. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want to go deep into this matter. I'm just trying to show us something. That in the midst of the chaos, just like there was chaos in Jerusalem that made people move, there's chaos in Nigeria, people are moving. But the truth of the matter is that what is happening is a convergence. That's what is taking place. And God is handpicking people that will midwife something apostolic, something that has his betting point in the heavens. He is handpicking them, a colony of prophets and teachers, a partnership between men of sight and men of deep insight into the Word of God. And that was how that convergence was shaped. Because every move of God has a texture. Has a texture. Now, I did my youth service about 14 years ago, thereabout, in Kano. While we were doing that youth service in Kano, the Lord broke out. There was a mighty move of God that began. We began to drink of God. And the move of God that began in Kano was a move. We were part of it. We were in it.
and we were resourceful people in it, not just in it. God used us in that move of God. And for me, I was trained by a teacher in ministry. So, before you lead any prayer point those days in the church, you must use the scripture. So, we were studying the Bible to get prayer points because our pastor was just going to say. And if you go to the pulpit to raise any prayer point, even if you want to laugh, show us why to laugh. So, it was all scripture. So, that was how I got the orientation of being a man of scripture. And later in ministry, I discovered that I was insulated because I knew scripture. There were some people just prophesying. When you finish prophesying, I will take scripture. And that your prophecy. I will put it in the test tube. Many people did not know that I was checking the things that were coming out. People were just rejoicing that, utterance. No. I was shaped by that training to become a man of scripture. And I sat in the seat of a teacher for 12 years before I began to operate in the prophetic. Hallelujah. Some people just start operating the prophetic because the shape of the move of God that captured them was the prophetic shape. And so they became used to that initially. Now, so every move of God has a shape. There is something that is an office, or there are unique offices that God brings together to shape a particular move. Now, in this one, we saw that it was all prophets and... Now, in Kano, because of the people that were in the forefront of that move, of which I was part, what we were doing was teaching and praying. The prophetic had not come that time. But we'll teach and we'll pray. So the word of God began to gain capacity. Many streams in the teaching office began to open. But it was still within the scope of that office and then prayer. So after we did that for about 2 years, teaching and praying, the word of God entered into people. It became difficult for you to come and deceive them with the Bible. Then we now went to Kaduna. In Kaduna, we now saw a similar kind of move of God, but they had a different texture. For theirs, it was teaching and worship. They were not praying. We came from Kano and we looked at them. You know, because of our nature, we're from the desert. Those days, I don't shake ladies. Hey, those were the days. Jesus. I don't shake ladies. And I don't laugh. That was when I met my wife. One of the days she greeted me and I didn't laugh. She ran away. Now, that was the texture. It was not a laughing texture. We were stoic. Always rumbling in prayers. Jesus. Now, we came to Kaduna, we saw them teaching and worshiping. And they don't pray. We said, no. There is something wrong with what they are doing. So we that came from Kano that had the dimension that prayer was part of, started emphasizing how that prayer needs to be part of. But you see, just like they needed prayer, we also needed to know how to worship. And the reason why God brought that convergence was so that we could pick worship and they could pick prayer. That's the purpose. So when prophets and teachers merged, it was so that offices can merge, transfers can take place. Eventually, when we see Paul on the field, he was as good a prophet as he was a teacher. He was the one that says the Spirit speaketh expressly. Because where he was coming from, the convergence had shaped him into the prophetic that he was not originally into. So when you see that there were prophets and teachers, and their names were not, many of them were not mentioned. We know of Agabus before, and we know he was there. But you see, in that service, the first voice we heard after they had prayed and ministered to the Lord was the voice that came from a prophet. Because the Bible says the Spirit spoke. Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. From that platform, God could begin his sending again. And that means that the platform had matured enough
to bring men into the construction of the purpose of God and that which he was implementing at that time, to disciple men into it so that they could be released to the nations of the world. Now, most of what we do in church today doesn't involve sending men. We don't have that goal that you will grow and come to a point of maturity where you can represent God in all spheres of human life. You can represent God in the life of a woman as a husband. You can represent God in an office where there are antichrist systems, and you'll be standing erect like Daniel when everything has bent over. Quality men like that only come out of a place where there is a convergence and something is being born from heaven. Christianity has suffered loss in the hands of charlatans, and that's why witchcraft and masonry has been brought to the party, and it is eating deep into the fabrics of what God is doing. And that's why there needs to be an exodus, so that there can be a fresh what? Convergence. Then prophets and teachers who need to begin to touch the people, to build the people. Hallelujah. So I was doing my teaching and then leading the people to pray. I was doing that for a long time. Then God now moved the prophet. From the fellowship that that prophet was part of, they believe that only them, they are the only Christians on earth, that all the other churches are of darkness. That's what they believe. Alright? So they believe they are the holy, they are pure. Jesus. And that guy began to move in the prophetic. They now said, no, he's fake. That according to their doctrine, the canon, no more prophet is left on earth. So where did he get his own? His own is a foul, is a strange type. So because of that, he stopped prophesying. They now assigned him to be an usher. That is because he has so much time that he's prophesying. Go to the be welcoming people when they come. when they come for church, welcome them. And when they are sleeping, touch them. Don't. So he was at the door. But when he gets home, the prophetic fire will burn within him. So what he did was that one day he was led by the Holy Spirit and came forward meeting. And I was teaching. As I was teaching. And he came there with one of the pastors. And you know, the disposition is that we're all unbelievers. And Jesus cannot inhabit us. Jesus is too precious to dwell in us. Where did you find Jesus? No, this is not Jesus. Well, they were in the meeting. I was teaching. And then the hand of God came mightily, and then that prophet began to prophesy. Now he prophesied for almost 1 hour that day. It was an accumulation of all the ones he got at the door that they didn't allow him. When he wants to, they say no. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to show you the partnership between the office of the prophet and what? Very relevant. Through the office of the teacher, everyone must be brought to a point where they have a lust to study the Bible. And through the office of the prophet, everyone was brought where they have the capacity to use the instrument of discernment, which is the Holy Spirit himself that tabernacles them. With these two, this rod and this staff, we should be able to go through life and overcome every onslaught of the devil. So God handpicked the people that were part of the move of God in Antioch. Now, when that prophet prophesied that day, the pastor that accompanied him, now he was also of darkness, because by what spirit did he what? So he left him, and that we are all of darkness. So he was disowned that day, and then the only colony where he was accepted was that our prayer meeting. I teach, and then when I'm teaching and we begin to pray, and his prophecies were pinpoint accurate. Something strange began to happen. After 6 months, other people began to prophesy. Because the virus he brought has started what? And that was why in Antioch, it was a colony of... Because the Bible says that everybody in the body of Christ is supposed to be able to prophesy. Everybody, including you and me. Supposed to be able to pick the utterance of God from the spirit realm and give voice to it. So Paul says, ye all may prophesy. And that's the only gift of the Spirit that every believer has and is supposed to walk in. But until you meet the accurate ministry of the prophet, you may not know that you can release your spirit in that way. Are you with me? Now, so as we began on that note, intercession took a new dive. Those days were interceding based on the revelations that we got from Scripture. Alright? This is what the Bible says. And because of this, let's pray. That was how we were doing. Just like we were doing in our church at home. But when the prophetic came, we now saw that beyond what was in the Bible, God could give an inspiration. That in this place, where this locality, where this house is built, there is a walking of darkness here. And God can demand that we carry out a prophetic action in view of that oppression of darkness to counter it. So when the prophetic entered into our prayers, it changed the shape. Now every office, every functionary in the kingdom of God has a shape, has a dimension. And in the days of the convergence, what happens is that the shapes begin to fuse together to form something that is a defense that is too thick for the devil to compromise. And then they were in this prayer meeting. The names of the people present were mentioned. Now let us see the roll call. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene. That guy is from Africa. Cyrene was part of ancient day Libya. An African was on the board. God has always carried Africa along in every move of his that he has pioneered upon the face of the earth. Lucius was there. Notice that Simon the Cyrenian was the one that took Jesus' cross. And Cyrene was part of ancient day Libya. On the day of Pentecost, Africa was represented. Have you seen that one? That there was Africa was there. And now again in the convergence, Africa was represented, and Lucius from the regions of Cyrene, an obviously black man, was in the midst when this took place. And then when he ascended in prayers, the Holy Ghost, he spoke. Now he's speaking. Was strange. Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. Now, I need to explain this. Separate unto me. The Holy Ghost, he spoke. You know, when I was teaching about holiness the other time, I said, holiness is the nature of God. Holiness is not the nature of man. Holiness is that nature of God that makes him different, that makes him to exist in his own class, that makes him not to be comparable with that which is common. And every time he beams forth, he is different from everything that has existed within the context. It is that nature of holiness that makes him that way. And the Bible says that our destiny in Christ Jesus is that we should be partakers of the divine nature. That is our destiny. That is the possibilities available to us in Christ. So, there are two things required for you to begin to participate in that nature of holiness. The first thing that is required is deep. is consecration to God. Now, consecration to God is established on a philosophy. It's established on the fact that you are God's property, bought by the price of the blood of Jesus. When you realize that, what should follow is offering yourself up. Now, most of our Christians today are abnormal Christians, because their altar call, their coming into salvation, did not result in consecration to serve the will of God. That means they are not reasonable people. They have not come to the point where the sacrifice of Christ has made them reason. So he believes that he can partake of Christ and then still live his life the way he wants to live it. That state of existence is an aberration. It is like a crossbreed, an outlawed creature. Because every true committer to Christ should amount in what? Consecration to serve the will of God. Somebody might believe that what that thing means is coming to full-time ministry. Because there are many people that are in full-time ministry that have not yet consecrated themselves to serve the will of God. So, we are not talking about full-time ministry. We are talking about a deep working of God that will make you reasonable. And because you have become reasonable, you decide that you are going to shut down your ambition. Shut down the things that you would have wanted to achieve, so that you can achieve that which God wants you to achieve for His glory. Now, I wanted to be a lecturer. I've said it again and again. Hallelujah. Now, if I tell you that I was dull while I was in school, I'll be lying. Because I've never been dull. If we go back to class, you will still know. You will see that thing to come back. Never been dull. Well, 120 people from different disciplines that were trained when we were employed into the petroleum industry. Engineers of all kinds, chemical, mechanical, civil engineering, geologists, who were just two chemists. When we start for the exam, after 3 months of training, I was the best. If we go to class, that thing will come back. And that's why Baba said, let me shut down that. See, oh my. You don't know, I went through something. You don't know. The Lord gave you understanding. And so I had my own plans of what I wanted to be. And then suddenly a great one now comes and says, you can't, for my sake, you can't be what you want to be. And I fought. And then the time came, his hand overpowered me. Then I now submitted. That's when you start becoming reasonable. For that nature of God that is called holiness cannot be displayed in your life until you yourself decide to switch off from your ambition to serve His will. Now, this has nothing to do with whether you are in full-time ministry or not. Because just like I've said, there are a lot of people that are in full-time ministry that have not yet consecrated to serve the will of God. They are there for their own purposes. That's not consecration. Meanwhile, as far as Jesus is concerned, every man that is consecrated to Him is part and parcel of the people He plans with when He wants to execute anything in eternity. And any platform you find yourself is a platform where you can express Christ. Whether you are a teacher, a lawyer. So that is not the point. It's not full-time ministry that has been implied here. Consecration to serve the will of God. And when you have done that, the next step to uncover that nature of God called holiness is to see by revelation the authority of the Holy Spirit over your life. Those are the two steps. Some of you, the Holy Ghost doesn't have authority. You know, the Bible says something. The Lord is that Spirit. Did you hear that statement? I know you didn't hear it. The Lord is that. If the Lord is that Spirit, let's remove. Okay, let's capture Lord. Alright? Because the Lord is that Spirit. So, we can still call the Holy Spirit the Lord Spirit. Because the Lord is that what? So the Holy Spirit is Lord. Until we have come to that point where his Lordship, we have allowed him that allowance. We have given him that place where he can now say, you go this way, and you are willing to go that way. Then that nature of God called holiness will begin to play out in your life. It's not something you can mimic. Because some people say, okay, you dress in a certain way like that, that's holiness. Alright? No baggy trousers here. Pious and sanctimonious and sacramental. Just go to Asia and join one of the monks, the temples. It has nothing to do with your dress code. Even though as you grow with God, he will allow you like his choices. And it will change your life in a way that you did not intend to. But every time we make a textbook out of the dealings of God, it means that human tradition has entered to infiltrate the pure work of God. This nature called holiness is going to make you separate. It's going to make you different, such that it's still the nature playing out. You are what? Different. When they count all the people in your family, you are 12 and you are the 10th born. First, second, third, fourth, fifth. We know this one, but this one is what? There's a nature that makes you like that. But these two foundations must be in place before that nature begins to speak. That nature will change your desires, it will influence your appetite. It will affect your choices. Because the end product of that nature is that it will make you separate unto God. The factor that will have the capacity to influence you at the end of the day when that nature has taken grip is that it will make you separate unto God. Such that people around you will become your protectors. They will know your capabilities so much so that they will know whether this deal we should involve her or not. So they will protect you when that nature is evident. Separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. It was because that nature had already achieved separation that God could now speak to one of the prophets. Theirs is the territory of the Gentiles. A new kind of ministry that never existed before was coming to manifestation in keeping with the promises that God gave to David, that a time will come where I will rebuild your tabernacle. Now, see, the tabernacle of David. Let's read it. Hallelujah. Was a tabernacle that was a tabernacle of praise. And even the nations of the world came to view it. So in the day where the tabernacle of David will be established, God will not be giving Israel priority. The priority will be the nations of the earth. The people that have been deceived by evil spirits. In the day when that tabernacle is erected, those nations will be brought out of darkness. That was a promise that God gave David. But he will do it when men are separated unto him. There are two ways to access the kingdom. You can access it in a broad way. I don't have time to explain that. or you can access it in the narrow way. Those are two systems, two approaches to the kingdom. And the guys that access it in the narrow way are people that have accepted to consecrate themselves to serve the will of God. Today I work with the government. Jesus himself spoke to me and said, I'm going to send you, give you a job that will place you somewhere. I'm sending you there. What I'm doing today is not my dream. It evolved, and I got wind of it in the place of prayer on the 13th of January 2003. When he came to meet me, he told me about this day. Because he had taken my lecturership job from me. He came back on the 13th of January to say, okay, I'll give you a job. By the time he was telling me he'll give me a job, our agency had not yet existed in Nigeria. There's nothing I'm doing today that I just got smart. No. There were so many women on earth. He led me to this one. I had to wait 5 years for her. Now, if I had doubted, I would have. And that time, there were pressures. In fact, my in-law had said he wants to connect me with a Canadian. Jesus. Malakoremasi. But I waited for 5 years because the great one had what? Separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. If God's work does not prosper, it's because men are not separated. It's not because they don't go for full-time ministry. In fact, the problem of the church today is people that went for full-time, that are not separated. They have eroded the corridor, made people to accept a spirit that is not the Holy Spirit. Preached a different gospel, presented another Jesus. And so there needs to be a convergence, a different kind of platform that knows how to speak, that sustains a priesthood that can minister to the territory. Separate unto me. Our prayer today is simple, that God will show us what it means to be separated unto him in a desperate world that is twisted, torn and cunning, held spellbound under the deception of the enemy. I don't know about you, but I choose to serve the will of God. Hallelujah. It's because the churches are irrelevant. That's why in Confab they say, let's tax churches. They know how much money some of the churches have in their accounts. Because the last CBN governor, he did a lot to make sure that churches were taxed. When he saw the bogus sums of money. I heard that in one church, Sunday service, they count the offering till Wednesday. People sleep on money. God has a quarrel with the church in Nigeria. And the quarrel is, what have we done with money? When a man is not separated unto God, he's a danger. Not just to his world, but to his generation. He allows the devil use his influence to shape a people negatively. And so God will have to move people from Jerusalem to set camp in Antioch. Just like a sojourner that needs to pitch his tent in the middle of a desert. God was almost stranded until he found men like Agabus, Barnabas and Saul. They were not high names in the Jerusalem system. In fact, they went fast. Barnabas went far to Paul's village to get him. And they sat there and taught the scriptures for 2 years. After teaching for 2 years, a convergence was stirred. And prophets began to journey like the wise men, the Magi, that traced Jesus through a star. When people pray to live for 70 years, I don't join them. Because we have people that have lived long. If they had died early, we would have been free. I don't join. Because I see life. The reason why you need to breathe tomorrow is because there's a will of God still in administration in your hands. for the Bible says that David served his generation according to the will of God, and he did what? I've seen my story in that world. That the day I will sleep, let no man mourn. I have served according to the will of God. But until that time, I'll make my choices wisely. I choose the Lord that is Spirit, that He will direct the affairs of my life. Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. When you think in the office, what preoccupies your thought? What do you do with your day? When you sleep, when you lie down, what do you meditate about? If you have to use the internet, do you meander into places strange? It's a proof whether or not you are separated. I'm tired of people that come and just they cry. When they worship, don't cry. Just separate yourself to serve the will of God. When we hit the field and money began to come, 10 million bride, people that were deacons in churches, they denied Jesus. That was when the status car became BMW X5. And when they drive it down, they don't off the engine, they leave it running. Oh my. And then those of us that trek there, we are Jews. People count houses that they have bought in Ikeja and in Lekki. Four houses, still count. Crutches, schools. My mate comes out of a car, his stomach is downwards and he's just moving. Choose this day whom you will serve. Separate unto me what? Paul and Barnabas. That was the word that came from heaven. When the convergence has reached maturity, it was a demand for separation. What have you given your heart to? That which you love is shaping you. Just like someone that smokes. He gets to a point where his love for the cigarettes begins to shape him, but he doesn't know. Because you can't imagine him stopping. So he becomes a creature that is shaped by what he smokes. What shapes you? Is it what you smoke that shapes you? Is it what you are afraid of that has shaped you? But when you separate yourself onto something, you have given only one thing, the right to shape you. And when he's done, you will be holy. You will not look like any other thing else. You won't look like your father. You won't look like your mother. You won't look like the tribe and the place where you have come from. You will be different. Something that no man can fully describe. If they can describe you, all your eyes, the hair tie you wear, and the mantle you put on, you are too cheap to be holiness. We made a mess out of everything. Saw some people in Lagos bound by the traditions of men. The way they were looking, I don't want to look like that. The day my wife looks like that, we will have problems. That is not what is meant there. It's too holy, it's too high for mortal men to be able to conceive it. The fact that you backed doesn't mean you are a dog. When a dog backs, he backs from his DNA. He backs from his life form. He is empowered to back by life. If you back, is fake. Anything you do to try to back is fake. You cannot do anything to be holy. It's a nature. If it begins, if it's activated, it will not stop until it makes you what? Different. It makes you separate. Have you prayed before? 3 days dry, you were in the room and you came out. And when you came out, it was as if you were not supposed to be outside. Something was drawing you back. That nature will make you what? Separate. It will make you different. And so when you use words, what will happen will be different from when men use words. You are different. You don't understand. I don't want to press it. But there's a demand for separation. Where have you been? What have you done? I don't want to
I checked my hair, I saw white hair the last time. I said, oh my boy, you don't have time left. Don't have time. I had to take an inventory. The last 10 years, what did I do with the last 10 years? Then I was here praying because I was consumed by that thought. I said, God, hey. And then he comforted me, said, continue doing what you are doing. Don't. Said, preach unto me, Paul and Barnabas. I have an agenda, I have a work. It's because of that separation. That's why, even though I stay in Lagos, my wife is here. Till I die, no woman will ever say, saw my nakedness. I will die before that day. Separate unto me. Paul and what? For the work that I have. Can we pray? Can we pray today? When you are separated unto God, you become like God. When you are separated unto cigarettes, you become like cigarettes. Cigarette will shape you, it will forge you. Hey, let your heart be strong. It will take radicals, valiants, men that can defy the enemy to walk consistently on this path. Separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. I have a ready-made plan. Let your spirit never lost for anything else but the Lord. Where have you been? Oh, mama, 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 mama. Oh mama 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 mama. Oh como mo sama mama. Hey mama mama mama. Oh mama mama sela mante mo komari masala ma. Uru mo soko male mata. Hey na mana kumasa. Radical opposition against unrighteousness. Implementers of the policies of heaven. Separate unto me. When a man becomes separated to God, God wields a mighty power through his life. Something that darkness cannot stop. It doesn't matter where he is from, what kind of witchcraft is done there. Separate unto me. Kima maraka pasata babole. Embros kima sata branta babole. The giants in the dark places have not yet fallen. Those places you named have not yet come into spotlight because Paul and Barnabas are not yet separated. And Barnabas are totally overtaken. Then a bad day for darkness has come. Doesn't matter what they were, how they lingered before that day when God says separate. But from that day on, a new regime is born. God can be mighty through your life, but we are attracted by different things. We are, oh my God, show us how to separate ourselves unto you. In this evil day, this dark world, show us the demand of separation. And by all means, raise mercenaries like Barnabas and Saul that cut through cities with a blazing light of power, of signs, and of wonders. Change territories where idols were remembered. Put the blood-stained banner of Jesus. The Bible says there were men who has surrendered their lives for the sake of the gospel. Let nobody make you feel that you are failing. Let that thought of insufficiency never haunt you. The devil is aware if you reach the finish line and God makes a proclamation upon you, your days of toil will not be remembered. A kingdom will fight to keep you alive. 1,000 can fall by your side and 10,000 by your right hand. You will be spared because a kingdom has spoken your name. You will live and not die because the hand of God spoke your name in the day of convergence. Said, "Pray unto me, Barnabas." From that day, his death will not be by sword, by blade, by spear, by bomb, by Boko Haram. Us, oh God, to see what you are building in the territory. That out of this chaos there is a ladder. There is something being built, a convergence. A place where there will be a mighty battle. But Paul and Barnabas must come to the party. Paul and Barnabas must come to the party. Separate unto me. Paul and Barnabas. Show us what it means to be separate. The courage to perform and the wisdom to choose the right. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Back home, please take the map of Africa. When last did you behold the map? Okay, I think we have one just in case it's been long. I need to show you a map. Sit down. This is my map. It's a strange one. Such that I can't make it small. It's a body. Africa. Maybe you don't. When last did you check a map? Yes, Africa. Because, okay, a few days ago. At least you still check it. Two men, that Paul, came to Ephesus, the land of idolatry. If you claim to have encountered a new deity in Ephesus, they will give you free land to erect the tabernacle of that new deity. You are under employment to establish that priesthood. Ephesus was a land of gods. The smiths knew how to drink into your inspiration and create an idol suitable for the burden that you have carried. Hallelujah. Paul met
12 people. And recognized that they were part of John the Baptist's baptismal service. He educated them and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in the space of 2 years, the whole of Asia Minor was conquered. 2 years. Now, let's check this Africa. Which day, I'm wondering which day we'll go around. And when I check my hair, the white has come. When will we... You know, most of our terrorists were trained in Mauritania. You know that Mali was their kitchen. In fact, the witchcraft that holds Nigeria for 100 years, that witchcraft was from Guinea. There is a deep threshold of darkness that has sat in Africa. And it is a good will of God that a deep stronghold of light will yet come from him. Many princes of heaven have come to pave the way. I heard that the man that founded Redeem used to walk on water. And men like Adeboye, they saw signs and wonders. That was why he could resign as a PhD holder to come and follow this man. He was very spiritual. In a very long time, that was the man that it was said about that he prays and the foundations of building shake. Princes and high princes like that had to come pave the way to break the hold of witchcraft so that something can fit. The prophet of the CAC during praise and worship, he used to suspend. When you see Yoruba people give their life to Christ, you know those guys. I married from there. They were staunch idolaters. In fact, today, not they were, they are strong. For those guys to follow God, they saw something more than idols. Some of those men were luminaries. This spirit travel that Philip used to do was commonplace in his life. His driver knew. He never gets late for a meeting. He leaves the car. Say, okay, let's meet there. He doesn't pray for the dead, for them to rise. They put them at the back of the crusade ground. And they leap. Finish 40 days of prayer and fasting, prayed over a river and said he's tired of laying hands. Sick people enter inside. 24 years after he died, a madman missed his way and fell in and came back. Oh. Why do you think God did all of that? By Elton, the prophet. It was as if he was there when the chronicles in heaven were written. He could set foot on any land and prophesy about it. The working documents that we have as navigation equipments today were prophecies by Pilate. And this year, his only daughter will be 80 years from marriage. When she saw the dimensions that her father carried, there was no need to marry. She's 80 years. I was invited for her birthday. 80 years of marriage. There have been mighty convergences in our land. It is because of a day like this that all of this was done. But behold, Africa, the black continent. I walked in the cities of Malawi. And there's a word you'll never forget if you go there. That word is called Nyao. That's the name of the witchcraft of the southern part of Africa. What did I call it? Nyao. When last did you look on the map? Go back, please. Try. Separate unto me. Paul and Barnabas must come to the party. The Lord give you understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ. Take the hand of someone close to you and help me preach to that person. Paul and Barnabas must come to the party. There are times when God speaks your name. Those are strange times. Those are times when prophecy goes specific. It's not just a day where God says, I am here. No, he says, separate. Paul and Barnabas. And I should pray for that life before we go. We want to say, God, teach this one what it means in his own context, in his own life, in this time for him to be separated unto you. Pray for that life right now. But Paul and Barnabas must come to the party. They must come. Paul must come. Barnabas must come. The devil wants to make you feel that you are failing. No. No. You cannot fail. You cannot fail believing in Jesus. No. You cannot fail holding on to the Holy Spirit. If the devil were strong as he claims he is, some of us would be dead by now. God can only make your life better. No, you are not wasting time. I assure you. I assure you. You are not wasting time. You are not wasting time to zero in on the Lord. To cut off from every other love. And say, I'm separated unto you. Weapons of war. Deliverers of nations, of families, will now begin to emerge when we turn our eyes to him, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You are not failing. You are not failing. You are not failing. You are not being subdued. You are not failing. There is a branch, a new branch, that will spring forth. And that branch, the parchness of the land will not be able to squash it. You are not failing. Paul and Barnabas must come to the party. So let it be. Thank you, Father. Jesus. I don't know how you will help me do this. Tell that person, you are not failing. And that's what the devil does. That's the trick he does to get us to break. You are not failing. You are not failing. That's what he said I should tell you. You are not faith. You are not faith. Because many people here are saying in their hearts, so much time has been spent. Nothing significant has taken place. Change is not counted in days and times. Destiny doesn't take time, it takes encounter. I will tell my story again and again. There was nothing to my life. But what happened was that I met the Holy Ghost. He came on me. That's destiny. The Bible says it came to Moses. It came to Moses. It came to Moses. What was this it? That it that came is what shaped that man's life. It's not time. You are not failing. You are not failing. You are not failing. see the power of God is so strong, but we cannot puncture it because of time. I just need to tell you 1,000 times that you are not faith. You are not faith. Come. Not faith. Many changes will take place in a few months. If you didn't give up till now, don't even attempt it. You are not faith. You are not faith. Don't know how to tell you strong enough. You are not faith. You are not faith. You can sit down. And so, Lord, on this mountain today, we stand with conviction, with full assurance of faith, that He that has begun a good work in us will be faithful to perfect it. And so, strengthen the hands that hang down, strengthen the feeble knees, so that they that are weak will not be dislocated, but rather healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no eye will see God. So let it be in Jesus' name.